Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm telling you what, I got to admit, I'm kind of tired. I know last week, we put so much into that program last week. I was just exhausted when we got through. It's very emotional. People like me, not just me, but people that have radio programs like this, we've organized this from scratch, and we put our sweat, blood, and tears, our whole soul is into a mission like this. And it gets really tiring sometimes, but thank God we got a great guy like my brother Paul Fromm coming on. We're continuing on this hour. With this first 2 hours, which, as you well know, just in case you're tuning in, was United States Ship Liberty Memorial Month. This is, we're going to be talking about Liberty all month. We couldn't get the Sailor Zone. Maybe next week, because they're real busy and they're catching hell. We talked about it on the radio, and we got Paul Fromm here. Paul, you know, they're raising hell in Norfolk, Virginia. It's the same old suspect, the sons of Abraham. So there's the Chosenites, the Jews. They're making the life miserable of the USS Liberty sailors. They're making their life so miserable that Mo Schaefer, the organizer of the USS Liberty Association get-togethers, he said he's going to cancel next year. They're being intimidated so bad by the Jews, so much blowback, that Heroes, the most highly decorated ship, and I'm going to shut up, we're going to go to German history just a second, the most highly decorated ship in the United States Navy, United States Ship Liberty, these survivors that survived that attack of the Jews of June 8th. Tomorrow will be the 58th anniversary of the Jews, a.k.a. Israel's attack on the USS Liberty trying to sink them. These sailors that the Judeo-Christians in our government, oh, we love the veterans so much. If you don't believe it, once a year on Veterans Day, we'll buy you a free cup of coffee if you're a veteran. The rest of the year, 364 days, you can go to hell and eat shit and die. But, we're going to picking the Jews over these sailors. And that goes to these so-called Judeo-Christians. But anyway, that's what we covered the first 2 hours. We're getting ready. We're switching back. We're going to have a regular series as much as we can until we run out of guests, until we run out of knowledge. But my brother Paul Fromm is leading this charge. And our guest we had coming on, he had arranged, all of a sudden he had to cancel out. We tried to bring him back on. But anyway, Paul's going to come on, and he's going to do a stellar job, yeoman's job, continuing on with German history. I'll contribute the best I can. But anyway, how are you doing this afternoon, Paul? And I'd like to thank you for coming on.
Well, I'm good, thanks. I was not able to hear the first 2 hours, so I was curious as to how the Jewish lobby are harassing the survivors of the Liberty in there in Norfolk, Virginia. I mean, harassing veterans? This sounds like something Al-Qaeda would do.
Yes. Yes. They stand. You know what? And get this. Not only the government being just standing by and let this happen, the Liberty Sailors have had to cough up $50,000 for police protection. It's so violent, they're going to try to have the guests cancel next year. And you know what? You know who's not uttering a peep about this? Their wonderful Judeo-Christian church in the United States. They stand lockstep with the Jews in this. There's no way in hell they're going to take side with these stinking veterans. All they did was go get napalm, get burnt with the only United States Navy ship in history to be napalmed. The only Navy ship I know that had their lifeboats machine gunned by the Jews. The Jews actually machine gunned their life rafts. They said, oh, the Jews didn't know. The Jews proudly have one of these lifeboats on display in a Jewish museum. I guess Tel Aviv, but they have it on display proudly. They smile and tell you, this is a life raft we shot up with American sailors on. And we don't care who knows, because we know the Judeo-Christians are never going to take a stance against us. We know that we own the United States government's bought mind, soul, and body in private parts by the damn Jews. So it's the same thing everywhere you go in the Western world. They own us lock, stock, and barrel. It's the same people. This will give me a perfect segue. It's the same people that keep telling us horrendous lies against the Confederacy, the Confederate soldiers. Fast forward 60 years forward, the same Jews that tell the lies and control the media and tell about the evil Huns were bayoneting babies in World War One. That's why we had to come to the aid of the poor French to save them from the Hun. If Second World War prior to that, that's the same Jews that declared war in the international, the Jewish Congress, World Judeo. There's newspaper articles. I have one around here. It says Judea declares war on Germany. This was years before the first shot was actually fired. It's the same Jews telling the same lies about Germans from the get-go, and that's why we're doing this series on German history, and that's why I have a great teacher. Paul Fromm is a retired teacher. That's why we have people like him on. And in the future, Gene's going to help us out. We have other people. That's why we were doing this Blood River Radio, to try to bring the real truth to you about German history, just like we do about real Confederate history. That's why we're so lucky to have you on here, Paul.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's the same battle, just different actors. If you're a regular TV news junkie like I am, when I have the spare time, you might have seen the visit by the German Chancellor to the Oval Office. I believe it was on Thursday. That's Friedrich Merz. He's the German Chancellor, and he was there ostensibly to talk about trade and the war between Russia and the Ukraine and so on. But it happened to be the anniversary of a very dark day in German history, and that was D-Day, the day it was the 81st anniversary of the launching of Operation Overlord, which saw the Allies invade the beaches of Normandy. There were, of course, American, British, Canadian, and Free French troops there. And it was a very, very hard-fought battle. The Germans did fantastically well, but in the end, they were overwhelmed. Well, I would think that would be about as insensitive to state, to respecting people's feelings. And this is an era that supposedly respects feelings, except yours and mine. This would be as rude and insensitive as scheduling a meeting with the Japanese ambassador on the day the Americans dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. That's only the beginning. I think Trump even kind of realized that. He said, the German Chancellor, Merz, said, "I'm here, Mr. President, to talk with you later on how we can contribute to that goal about ending the war. I remind you that we are having June 6th tomorrow. This is D-Day anniversary when the Americans once ended a war in Europe." He said that, not Trump. The German Chancellor is somehow commemorating that day. And he says when the Americans ended the war. That didn't end the Second World War. The Second World War went on for another 11 months in Europe, and another 13 in Asia. He's ignorant, but if anything, it gets worse. Trump, I think, tried to be diplomatic. He said, that was not a pleasant day for you. The German Chancellor answered,
"This is amazing.
It was our liberation. We thank the Americans for liberating us from the Nazis." You can't be more degraded. It's like thanking the rapist who years ago raped your wife. This is unbelievable. I can understand in the diplomatic world, the chancellor might not want to say a lot, but he should have kept his mouth shut. In fact, what he said was he was thanking the Americans for liberating his country from the Nazis.
That's incomprehensible, Paul.
Sorry?
So that's incomprehensible to me, that a German chancellor could be such a traitor to his own people. I mean, look, I guess he thinks that all those millions of Germans that were roasted alive by the likes of Churchill and Tedder, General Tedder, the head of the German, of the British Air Force, dropping all those firebombs on Germans. Is he? Bomber Harris, yes. And you're talking about being brainwashed. My God, you know what? I hear the first break, the first of the third hour, Paul. We come back right after we get this break. I didn't know he did that. That's astonishing. Be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Hello friends, this is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. We had a dynamite first 2 hours. What our honored guest, Paul Fromm, said is just astounding to me. We talked about that during the break. We have a large number of whites here in Memphis area. They call it Memphrica. In the South, we've been beaten down so bad. The German army, and the Southerners, the Confederacy, all the way up to this day, the South has been beaten down by the Judeo governor on Sodom on the Potomac, just as the Germans have been beaten down by the same Jew, Victor. We've been taught, our young, to hate themselves for being Southerners, to hate themselves for being white. If you're in the Southerners, they're taught being white and Southern, you're scum. You should lick the boots of these Jews, and especially these blacks. I know that may be a little exaggeration, but it's the same thing. The German people have been taught to hate themselves. I've heard that a large percentage of German children are taking up Islam, and just like here in the United States, they take up niggerism. But that word comes from a black preacher by the name of Pastor Manning in Detroit, a black preacher. But anyway, Paul, I guess I'm getting kind of going overboard here, but what that statement you said. It's not, that's as bad as any white self-hating race traitor. But continue on, Paul. Tell the people what we're talking about.
Let's look at the objective facts. What was the result of the end of the Second World War for Germany? present German Chancellor Merz was thanking the Americans for liberating Germany from the Nazis. After the war was over, General Eisenhower, with some assistance from the French, against all international law and the Geneva Conventions, deliberately starved to death over 1 million German soldiers who had surrendered. And this was found out some years ago by a fellow Canadian who was looking over the war statistics and found this huge figure listed by the Allies for the Germans of other losses, a little over 1 million. You wonder, well, that's like miscellaneous. Miscellaneous is usually a fairly small figure, no matter what you're counting. And in looking into it, these were not considered surrendered prisoners of war, which they were. They had surrendered. They'd been disarmed. And if they'd be considered surrendered prisoners of war, they were entitled under the Geneva Conventions to being fed, housed, and medical assistance. These men were allowed to live like cattle in fields along the Rhine, with almost no food, no sanitary conditions, almost no water. Over 1 million died. The German Chancellor thanks America for liberating them from the Nazis. Well, what about the 500,000 German women who were raped by the Soviets? That was another gift of the Allies. Or Germany was dismembered. It lost what was called East Prussia. I lost another areas in the east. It lost Silesia, which is now part of Poland. It lost the Sudetenland, which is part of Czechoslovakia, and which the speaker I hope to have tonight is an expert on, because he was a refugee from there. But Germany was dismembered, and much of the east that wasn't given to other countries like Russia or Poland became a communist portion. It was called East Germany, or the German Democratic Republic. That was another result of the war. You call that liberation? 1 million German civilians were starved to death after the Second World War. It was so horrific that Herbert Hoover, the former American president and a humanitarian who had a lot to do with arranging aid, food aid to Germany, kept complaining, why is the aid not getting through? And it's only when he went public, very reluctantly, food aid began to get through to the German civilians. And this traitor has the nerve to thank America for liberating them. And that was only the beginning. There was then, and Monica Schaefer has mentioned this before on your show, a campaign by the Allies to re-educate Germany and to instill such guilt that, as the man who designed this program said, we'll never have to go to war. You'll hate yourself so much, you won't have the confidence to stand up as a nation. It's absolutely pathetic. I think it was the previous president of Germany that said that the reason for the existence of the German Republic is the protection of the State of Israel. He said that within the last year or two. It's insane. It would be the equivalent of the American president saying the purpose of the United States is to protect the sovereignty of Guatemala, let's say, some tiny insignificant state. That's not the purpose of the United States, and that's not the purpose of Germany. But that is what the current, the majority of the current elite, maybe not everybody, but most of the ruling class in Germany believe. that they are not proud to be Germans. And this was brought home to me. I was traveling in the Caribbean maybe 15 years ago, and I was at a resort that had a lot of Germans and Europeans, and I was speaking to one fellow, and I said, "Oh, you're German." And he turned to me in a very pompous manner and said, "No, I'm a citizen of the world."
Oh, crap. Thought,
well, Lottie bloody daw for you.
Go ahead, Paul. I was going to say, in my redneck southern way, I'd say, "No, you're an ignorant son of a bitch." But outside of that, you know, I guess I need more culture. But you know what, Paul? The other thing they wanted to do under this Jew, Henry Morgenthau, who was the do-it-all, do-everything. He was the Secretary of the Treasury under FDR, but he was a big-time Jew. I think he helped put the Balfour Declaration in for what the World War One. But you know, he wanted to do, he proposed that they go in after the Germans were defeated after the First World War and castrate to fix, like you would a dog or a cat, did you want to make a pet. He wanted to castrate the Germans to keep them from breeding, to keep them from procreating anymore, to exterminate the Germans. And I think that Eisenhower, son of a bitch, went along with it. He actually wanted to do that. You know, Paul, before I go on, these wars, like D-Day, I'm linking D-Day with USS Ship Liberty. There's so many people like we have. I've talked about these white race traitors here in America, especially in the South, that hate themselves for being white. These same people will take sides against people like the USS Liberty sailors against they'll take sides of the Jew. You know, D-Day, and I forgot about it to mention it on the first 2 hours. I'm glad you brought it up. But to me, it's such a disgrace, a blot on the history of the United States and Britain. But it's always the same thing, Paul. It's always the Jews stir up. And we had a guest on first hour, Will, who brought it up. If you the same thing, you know, the creature from Jekyll Island, Griffin brought it up. These wars are always started by the Jews. It's the Jews. They never take part in the war, but they set nation against nation so they can make money out of it. But Paul, and I'm going to shut up after this, is always these wars are always white brother against white brother. The damn Jews never participate, but it's their harvest. As a matter of fact, you mentioned Monica Schaefer. Monica Schaefer quoted a Jew as saying, "Wars are our harvest. That's the way we get rid of all these whites. That's how we get rid of all these Gentiles." It's always, I'm repeating myself one more time, these wars are always white brother against white brothers. We have these poor, ignorant, airhead 18 and 20-year-olds cannot wait to join the Marines, the Army Rangers, so they go over and fight and die and get their ass blown off fighting for Israel. So it's always white brother against white brother, isn't it, Paul?
Well, that was the terrible tragedy of both the First and Second World Wars. It was white men slaughtering white men and feeling damned righteous about it.
Yes.
There was a plan. There were actually several plans in the 40s. One was plan by a man by the name of Kaufmann, I think.
Yes.
Germany must perish. And the idea was that Germany would have to be reduced to a disarmed, deindustrialized agrarian state after the war. And then there was the Morgenthau plan, which involved basically genocide without shooting people. You castrate all males between whatever, you know, 17 and 65. And within 50 years, there'd be no more Germans. Just a little less obvious and horrific than lining everybody
yes.
up in a field and machine gunning them.
You got it, Paul. We'll come back to that as soon as this break. We got to go to a quick break, Paul. We'll revisit that point as soon as we get to come back to this break. It's a 5-minute break, Paul. People, get you a cup of coffee.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. At the end of the week, a majority of voters still approve of the job that President Trump is doing. More details from correspondent Bernie Bennett.
Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll for Friday shows that 50% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance, 49% disapprove. The latest figures include 35% who strongly approve of the job President Trump's doing and 40% who strongly disapprove. This gives him a presidential approval index rating of -5. The margin of sampling error for the full sample of 1,500 likely U.S. voters is ±2.5 percentage points with a 95% level of confidence. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Also at townhall.com, Gaza's health ministry claims Israeli military has killed at least 95 people, including children, in the past 24 hours. But former Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Dr. Michael Oren, says one of the biggest challenges facing the Jewish state is complicity by much of the media with lies and propaganda spread by Israel's enemies, including about the recent civilian death toll.
That 53,000 comes from the Gaza health authorities. Nobody knows who they are. No one can mention a name. They'll say, well, the U.N., backs of that up. Yeah, but the UN also, the UN quotes the Gaza Health Authorities, and the Gaza Health Authorities quotes the UN, so it's a loop of lies.
Dr. Oren was interviewed this week on the Salem Radio Network. Meanwhile, Israel supporting armed groups of Palestinians in Gaza in what it says is a move to counter Hamas, but officials with the UN, they say that aid organizations and the military is not allowing them to get in, and a lot of food has been stolen. A rough night for many civilians in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv. Russian drone and missile attacks targeting the area. At least 4 civilians have been killed and as many as 24 wounded. More on these stories, townhall.com.
At University of Maryland Global Campus, we give our students credit where credit is due. Credit for deciding in the middle of rush hour traffic to go back and get their bachelor's and a promotion. Credit for managing 3 kids, 2 dogs, and a full-time job to pursue an MBA. And credit for serving in the military by day so they can study cybersecurity at night. For over 75 years, we've been helping students receive the credit they deserve. With more than 135 degrees and certificates, students at UMGC can use prior learning or relevant experience to earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's. And graduate students can transfer up to 12 credits toward their master's. At UMGC, you'll find everything from online to hybrid courses and lifetime career services to scholarship opportunities, making your education journey flexible, fast, and affordable. Classes start June 11th. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this time is just flying, but we have Paul Frum on, just to remind you, this is United States Ship Liberty Month. It's also running a program, just in case you're tuning in, we're going to do German history as long as we can. I don't know how many, I don't know if it's going to be every week, like Confederate history, but we're going to do it on a regular basis. We're going to do German history. It's going to be a parallel program to run with parallel with the Confederate history. Because someone has to get the truth out there. Someone has to buoy up our young people, especially our young people, to try to put some pride back in our young people. It'd be nice if we could do it in Germany where they're beat down so bad. Like Paul just said, that there's hardly any pride left in Germany. I'm not that bad in the South here in the United States. It's just we've been beat down. So anyway, Paul, I've rattled on too much. We were talking about Theodore Kaufman in the book Germany Must Perish. We were talking about what's his name? Oh golly, I just mentioned his name. Henry Morgenthau. These Jews who want to basically exterminate white people. And I mentioned, I'll shut up after this. When they get through with Germany, when they get through their wish to exterminate all white Germans, people don't think they're through. They want to do that to every white person in the world. And I'm going to shut up and go back to you, Paul. I'm sorry I talked so long.
Well, as a European Canadian, I know that there are dark forces that want to exterminate us in Canada. And it's very simple. It's immigration. They changed the immigration law in 1965 and several years afterwards, just as your immigration law, which was a great one, passed in 1924, was changed in 1965 to let in the Third World. And that has been an obsession of most of the elite. And many Canadians were very slow to see the end game, but the end game is we'll be replaced. We will be a tiny minority, and then are ripe for either expulsion or extermination. That's by plan. That didn't just happen. It's not like, there are March winds and April showers in the spring. Well, that's just nature. No, this isn't a happenstance. This is a plan. And when you read that Kaufman plan, Germany Must Perish, It is a shameless, straightforward blueprint for genocide. And it's funny that the people who yap on most about genocide, namely the Jewish lobby, they had several schemes to perpetrate it on Germany. And there were attempts made. There was the wholesale murder of surrendered German soldiers. There was the starvation of the German population. But then the conflict developed between the United States, Britain, France, and Russia. So it was reluctantly agreed, well, look, we can't very well exterminate these people physically completely because we'll need them as a buffer against the Russians. So what they settled on was an even more diabolical plan, and they are the Western allies. Russia was not really involved in this, and this was a massive propaganda plan to discourage and dehumanize the German people. And to this day, uninformed Germans, those who have not educated themselves, will say, well, yes, our grandparents were responsible for all sorts of stuff, genocide, and we were guilty. We started the war. Germany was evil, and we have to work very hard to be accepted among family of nations. When you think of the barbaric regimes all around the world, Germany has nothing to apologize for. It's responsible for all sorts of technical and medical inventions over the past few centuries. And there was one of the major prophets, I think his name was Sefton Delmer. I believe he was one of the major British propagandists in the war. And he said, we won the war through propaganda. It wasn't necessarily, of course, military force, yes, but propaganda. And he went on to say that what we will do to Germany after the war through propaganda will ensure that it will never be a threat again. So this was the slyer approach rather than physical genocide. Just massacring people or castrating all the males or taking away all their industry. So essentially they would go out of existence. Why not get them to hate themselves? And I think this was something that Chinese, I guess you might say genius or philosopher of war. He wrote the book The Art of War over 3,000 years ago. He said one of the most effective things to do is to discourage your enemy. I mean, if your enemy doesn't want to fight or hates himself or thinks if he goes over the top, all that will happen is he'll get shot, killed, and nobody will remember him, and there's no point to it. If you can discourage your enemy, you've won, and you often win with very little expenditure of blood or armaments. And that was what was done in the propaganda in the West, in West Germany, after the war. So you have people of this guy, Mock, he's such a loser. I've lost it. No, here it is. I lost my notes. Mertz. He looked to me, and I'm really bad on people's ages. That's why women like me, because I always underguess their real age.
That's smart.
That's right. You can't go wrong being dumb.
You damn sure can't.
Anyway, Mertz looks to me to be in his 60s, so he would have been educated or miseducated after the Second World War. To have been educated in the war, he would have to be 80 plus, and he's not. My guess is 60, somewhere in there. And anyway, he has imbibed this self-hatred. And the same thing is done to us in North America. Slightly different storyline, but critical race theory. Well, all the problems of the world are because of the white race, and whites exploit people and destroy people, and we've never done anything good. And to the extent impressionable people believe that, I mean, it makes them dysfunctional. I mean, if you hate yourself, there's really nothing I can't do to you, because you will reason that, well, maybe you deserve it. I mean, the German police have as much as told German women who've been raped by these monsters for the Angela Merkel let in that, well, it must have been their fault. They shouldn't dress provocatively. Most of these women weren't dressed like, streetwalkers. They were just normal modern women. But because they didn't have a bag over their head and some sort of robe down to their toes, that was somehow being provocative. No, not being provocative. It's my goddamn country. I should be able to live as I want to. And if some miserable, wretched, primitive foreigner can't function here, he should be thrown out. Well, actually, he should never have been allowed in. But there were There was a not too long after Merkel let the monsters in, a couple of years later, there was a German woman, a young woman in her 20s, who was working in one of these refugee welcoming centers. And her parents were both big shots in the European Union. Anyway, she was raped and murdered by one of the monsters. And her parents didn't want any public recognition or this or ceremony, because it might encourage what they call the radicals, or the radical right. They were prepared to dishonor their own daughter, who'd been helping the refugees, because somehow I think they felt, well, maybe we all deserve it, so we shouldn't make a big fuss about it. It's too bad our daughter's gone, but when you're in that mental frame of mind, you're ill. You're mentally ill. You're far worse than the guy who thinks he's Napoleon and has his hand in his tummy and is asking people to recognize him as emperor.
Paul, we got to take a quick break. We're going to visit that point as soon as the last break. Be right back, people.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to give a quick example, and we'll go right back to Paul, what he's talking about. Several years ago, there was an incident someplace in Middle Tennessee. Gene Andrews went to the afterwards to to participate as a guard for the. I'm going to tell you the story. There was two kids, boyfriend girlfriend, high school. They were driving their pickup truck with and their high school's football team. Their mascot was the Rebels. Their symbol was the Confederate battle flag, just like the symbol of the University of Mississippi used to be the Confederate battle flag until they acquiesced, and you don't see a Confederate battle flag anymore. But the two kids, to make a long story short, were driving on a public highway in a carload of blacks. I believe they were I know they're from a northern state. They saw the Confederate battle flag. They were enraged, and they shot the truck up. One of the bullets hit the kid, the boy driving. He bled to death. And I'll get Gene to talk about this when he comes back next week. And the parents forgave the killers. The bodies aren't cold in the ground yet, and the parents forgive the killers. That's what Paul was talking about, so much self-hatred and self-guilt. My wife has a friend. Her mother was murdered. The bank that I use, I can walk to the bank in no more than 10 minutes. Her mother was shot in cold blood inside the bank. The black feral animals, Paul, were robbing the bank. They told the people, don't move. Well, this was an elderly lady. She was confused and frightened. She made the wrong move. They killed her dead. Well, my wife's friend, seeing her mother murdered, like I said, her body wasn't cold in the ground. And she came up, I forgive them, for they know not what they did. I don't have a shred of hatred in my body for these people. I mean, it's absolutely sickening, Paul. That's what you were talking about. This self-hatred is just, it's you can't measure. How did it get that? Well, you know how it got that way in Germany? And after the war, I got to shut up. Paul, the same thing has happened, especially here in the South. General Robert E. Lee, that Irish general that came over here, I can't remember his name. Gene's always talking about him. He's from Arkansas, came over here from Ireland, from Arkansas, who was a general. He said the same thing Lee did, that if we lose this war, we being the South, if we lose this war, we'll have Northern teachers will teach our kids in school to hate their ancestor, hate their Confederate heroes, to hate themselves. It succeeded, Paul. How long is that going on? It's a total brainwashing, Paul. I hope I didn't interrupt your train of thought, bro. I'm going right back to you.
Well, you're asking how long it would take. And my estimate is that it takes about a century, nearly. In Canada, the immigration law was changed in 65. It took a little while for the hordes to start coming, and then they came more and more, and then finally under Trudeau, the doors were flung wide open, and we were invaded, completely invaded. So this is, it's not quite 100 years, but the up until the late 60s or 70s, much of the South was not demoralized at all. There were Confederate flags everywhere. My friend, yes, the lawyer, Sam Dixon, told me that as a child growing up in South Carolina, about the same time as me in the 50s, early 60s, they hardly even celebrated July the 1st. The day they celebrated was Robert E. Lee's birthday on January is it 16th? I'm not sure, but the spirit of the South was largely unbroken, despite all the persecution they suffered. It wasn't just that they lost a war; wars are frequently lost, and life goes on. People get back to everyday existence, but there was an evil force with Reconstruction, and then, of course, with Germany, there was this evil, really demonic force in which the United States and Britain played the major role. The Soviets were terrible. Yeah, the conditions in East Germany were bad. There were no freedoms. Of course, that's true. But they didn't mind sodomize their citizens. That's why the most nationalist Germans now are people who were brought up in the former DDR, Deutsche Demokratische Republik. At least they hadn't been taught to hate themselves. They may have been told a lot of BS about Marx and Lenin being great men and communism being scientific socialism, but they weren't taught that they were garbage.
Paul, that's key. My question next: how many of the former East Germans, the East Germany, it was like I said, fourth partition. So I didn't know that the Germans living under the heel of Stalin, in the communist dictator Khrushchev, they were not brainwashed like the Western. That's key, Paul. My question there: how many of them are there, and can they spread the word to try to reinvigorate the German youth to take pride in themselves without being sent to prison? Is there any hope there, Paul?
As with any mainstream propaganda, there are always dissenters, and there are a considerable number of dissenters in Germany, including many of the people in the AfD, or the Alternative for Germany, Alternative for Deutschland, but Alternative for Germany party. They're not 100% what we would want, but not every German has been mind sodomized, but some have overcome it, just like a lot of people in the South do not hate themselves, and it's not just older. It's not just the older generation, say, who came of age before the, let's say, the 70s. There is, fortunately, help, some resistance, but many Germans, unfortunately, have been just brainwashed to the point of being suicidal. Monica Schaefer has told the story, and I'm just repeating it. But
that's so sad.
She brought out a video. Sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust, both in English and German, back in 2016. And when she showed it to her relatives who were still in Germany, these are cousins, they were so outraged after about the first few minutes. I think it's a six-minute video. But anyway, after the first few minutes, they were shaking. Take your video and leave. You're going to make us bad again. We were bad under National Socialism. We want to be good again. You want us to be bad. Go. Now, this is so hysterical. It was a showing in a living room. You would think, well, even if you disagree with it or don't like it, wait till it's over. You would think with blood, with family, you'd be a bit more tolerant. Grandpa likes to tell the same joke, same stories, meeting after meeting after meeting. He doesn't remember he told them last time, and the time before, and the time before. Normal, healthy families put up with that. These people freaked. They were afraid. They felt that the very presence of Monica and her brother Alfred in their place might somehow bring trouble on them or pollute them. I mean, this is seriously mentally ill.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Paul, and something else I've noticed, and I'm sure you have too, during the Second War, well, some people say Part B of the First War, it's always the same. We being the West, were allied against the communist Jew. The communist Jews controlled, they had the Soviet Union, like Churchill would say, by the hair of the head, by the scruff of the neck. We allied with the same communist Jew against white Christians in Germany. Now that the Jews, and I'll run this by you, now that Putin has pretty much, to my understanding, kicked out the Jewish bankers. He's returned Russia to white Christians. He's a self-professed Christian. There's been a big evangelism going on in Russia. They built thousands of churches.
True.
And now we're siding against those evil Germans, those evil, the former Nazis against Russia. It's just like George Orwell said, today yesterday we were allies with Oceania, but today we're at war against Oceania. It's Paul, I think it's because we're always being in the United States in Canada, because we're controlled by Jews. I believe that we're always going to fight against white Christians. It's always white Christian brothers against white Christian brothers. Is that why that the West is so insanely hating the Russians today, Paul? Because it's always going to be.
I think that's a large part of it. There's a visceral dislike on the part of many Jews of Slavs, and to see a strong Slavic power under Vladimir Putin really bothers them. He's got to be a bad guy.
Paul, we've run completely out of time. We've got to go. I really appreciate you coming on. Listen, I cannot believe how fast this hour went. I'll stay in contact with you. You do the same. We have run completely out of time. Thank you so much, Paul, for coming on.
Oh,
Thank you, Will. Thank you, Matt. You too. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Miss Teenage America, for bringing us on. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. God willing, I'll see you same time, same place next week. It looks like it's going to be with the whatever next week's going to be. Good night, everybody.